Boys Lunch.
Here we go.
And we're back, round number two. It is still the 5th of July. Round number one was, if you listen to last week's episode, a little all over the place. We're hoping to maybe reel it in a little bit.
No, it's going to be crazy.
There was a lot that I think I was trying to work through there that I think I want to talk to you about outside of the microphone sometime.
Yeah.
Just flush out some ideas. But it is great to be here. We're Boys Lunch, two Catholic teachers talking about life.
Absolutely.
I'm Joey.
Yeah, I'm Paul. You can always contact us at boyslunch1@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Instagram at boyslunchpodcast. Thank you, intern Casey. Gosh, I hope he's still alive.
America. I drove by his house the other day and he had an American flag up. So sorry. last episode we wrapped up, or we talked about our trips we had taken.
Yeah.
And so Father's Day, other things. We went to, Sal and I went to St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
So I went to Seattle for a few days, got back, then went down to St. Louis with, Sella and the kids. Her mom came up a few days, so the kids just had a blast. Sella took the whole week off and pretty much just did like a lot of their checklist for the summer. Took them to Chuck E. Cheese, Discovery Museum here in town.
Nice.
And then we St. Louis did Magic House. Mm. Went to the zoo, some parks, Cardinals game.
Wow.
Just like I said, since we did like a big trip, that was kind of like a try to make their dreams come true. So they just had an absolute blast. I spent so much time just trying to remind them how much fun they were having. Like, once the week ends, they just like forget. Remember 5 days ago, you also did this?
Yeah.
Like, I felt like, you ever do that as a parent? Yeah. It's like, I want you to appreciate what just happened these past like 7 days. Because you just did like everything.
So they'd be like, I'm having a bad day. I'm like, let me just recap exactly what you've done today.
Trying to do it not like in a malicious way, but let me help you like appreciate and like be gracious for something.
Yeah, that's for sure. So,
you guys do anything these past few weeks besides like the 4th of July stuff?
I spent a lot of time going to the pool.
And how's that been going?
It's been good. Yeah, the girls are at an age where they're a little bit, it's not quite as stressful, but still very stressful. Mary and I are both just like, you got eyes on her? Yeah. Where'd she go? I don't know. Huh? Nope, found her. So they've just been having a blast with that. They've started to get into their summer activities. So Sienna's got her, you know, Happy Feet Soccer.
Nice.
Zaylee's doing, it's called Mini Milers. So it's a little running thing that Fleet Feet here in town does.
Oh, cool.
So they've been enjoying that.
Nice.
Just trying to, it felt like you have that week long in Wisconsin. They're trying to get readjusted. But we hosted on Sunday, the 3rd, Mary's family had them over.
Nice.
Her youngest brother, John Paul, is moving back out to Oregon. And so last little gathering together, got the kiddie pool out and threw like 200-300 water balloons. Like we filled up a bunch.
Did you guys do the?
Yeah.
Oh, those are so great.
Yeah, those are awesome.
And then fills up like 30 at once or something.
Then you've got Mary's entire family and us out there trying to pick up all the pieces. After we're just like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
300 was a great idea.
Yeah. We do it in rounds. Do you guys do that? And then they have to pick up all the pieces before we give them the next round.
That's smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we just pretty much fill them all up. And
you're just trying to have fun. You're being the entertainer.
Exactly.
That's good. Have you switched gears at all, started looking at work?
Yeah, unfortunately.
We love our jobs.
We love our jobs, though. It is like July 4th happens, and then right after that is when kind of the – I need to start thinking about next year.
Yeah.
And the stress and the anxiety of the buildup starts to come in. And it was fitting because I got about 4 or 5 emails today.
Oh, nice.
From work or about senior class stuff, or Kevin Cook, God bless his soul, was asking me to do some stuff. So I'm just like,
yeah, man.
It's like, wow, a lot happening.
Yeah. Did you have a good 4th?
Yeah, we did. We went to Downs, Illinois parade.
Why do you guys do that one? Tri Towers growing up?
Oh, yeah.
So my family, my dad used to always park there. But Jeremy always goes in now.
Oof.
And he convinced us this year to go into the park. And it was awesome. But I was like a typical dad of like, we got to get out. Come on, come on. And then just being like the overly frustrated dad of like, mine's not even moving. It's been 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, type of thing. So, but the kids had a blast. The fireworks.
So. It's so true.
I overdid it. I'm sorry, Sal. One more question before we get started.
Yep.
What percentage of the time from May to August, September-ish, do you feel like you wear a hat?
Is it because we're both wearing hats right now?
I just thought it's today because I wear a hat the entire summer. I think you pretty much do.
Yeah.
Whenever I see you.
I'll be honest. It's pretty much from the second the students stop coming.
Like, do you wear hats the rest of the year? Like, into fall, it starts to, like,
yeah, not
you're not
as
wearing
much.
It as much. Winter, I'm not wearing
hats.
No,
I don't wear a snow cap as much as I used to. I mean, I used to, like, you know, use it to style my hair, but...
Yeah. But pretty much all the time during the summer, are you wearing a hat?
Yeah, pretty much. Though, I'll admit that my hair is to the length that I have to wear it up to do certain things.
Ah, jeez.
So, I've worn a bun.
Gross.
A handful of times this summer. At the pool.
You thought you were so cool.
And then...
thought you were so cool.
And then when I'm grilling, or when I've had to, like, paint... I'm sorry. But yes, I wear a hat all the time.
While you grill? Is it so hot? You get a little sweaty out there? What?
No, I'm just...
You don't want to burn your hair?
Yeah. I got charcoal and sometimes I'm like...
Get your face out
blowing
of the
on
grill.
The embers. I just...
Well, anyway. Yeah. What do you got for us?
I just wanted to talk a little bit about...
What is the transition here? It's all really good and I think my mind is going on a few different ways. I'm kind of curious to see where you're going to go. I don't want to jump ship from kind of your line here, but yeah, I think there was two experiences right when you said that from our trips. Like when we went to the Cardinals game, I mean, my boys have been Cubs fans for the past like 2 years, whatever, just because they love me. Mm-hmm. But Sella and her family have been trying to convert them. And we went to this Cardinals game and just like the excitement on their face when the home run was hit and the fireworks went off and everyone was dancing, like just like jaw dropped, mm-hmm. just kind of like they're, oh my goodness, this is amazing. Or just like they played a Space Jam song and like the boys were just like bought in and how like just experiencing it. Like I put Cubs game on the TV this summer and they just don't care at all. Like, boring dad. Like going and experiencing it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like you said, giving them the opportunity to, I don't know, be within that whole setting. They were just like blown away. And then last night at the fireworks, I got a picture of Damien's face because it's all lit up. When he first saw how huge they were and how loud they were, just like jaw open, like eyes in like wonder. And like, I wasn't even watching fireworks half the time. I was just watching their faces.
Mm-hmm.
But like, there's a temptation to not take them because it's late because you know, they're going to be crabby, but like fighting past that or like the Cardinals game, because it's going to be 100 degrees out and it's going to be so expensive to buy them a $10. So, you know, like you're thinking about all those things, but like, no, this is so good for them to experience those moments. Yeah.
Dietrich von Hildebrand, I believe Swiss theologian or philosopher, he called it the mother of all virtues because no other virtue is possible without it. Because what does it do is it fosters this gratitude and recognition of the greatness of creation. And when he says greatness of creation, that it's something beyond ourselves that is worthy of something, right?
Mm-hmm.
That it opens our eyes to the mystery of being and of life. Right? The beauty and the fact that we exist and this gratefulness for existing, right? It pairs well with humility, right? This recognition that there is something out there, a mystery that we cannot grasp in its fullness, that we are grateful for being able to participate in and to have the very life in which we breathe, that is not something that we brought about ourselves, right?
Hmm.
So something as simple as a Cardinals game, right? This recognition and awe, like both from the child and from the parent, right? I'm grateful that they're being able to experience this themselves and that I can witness this because this is a child who is mine and whom I love, right? Mm-hmm. And for them themselves, the fact that they've been brought here and that they've gotten to experience this, there's this great gratefulness in the recognition that this is just good, right? Mm-hmm. It's a resting in something greater than themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Alice von Hildebrand, who wrote this wonderful article,
His wife,
Catholic News Agency, talked about how the Greeks had it, right? They talked about how philosophy began with wondering.
Mm-hmm.
It was something that, again, we see and recognize in a child that we desire ourselves to always return to. She spoke beautifully of these moments of seeing someone cook for the first time, the way that they, you know, seeing an onion sliced and seeing the complexity of the onion and its different layers and the beauty of the cooking and the smells and the experience, right? And she talks about how she continuously wants to desire, or she continuously desires to return to that kind of childlike spirituality and how we approach the world, our relationship with God, and how I think, so my desire and your desire to see that in the child, I think it fits well because we feel it ourselves and want to return to that. I'm envious because when my girls are on the boat, you know, they're not worried about school starting up in a month. They're not worried about various things in their own lives. And it's like, I'm the most prideful person in the world. It feels like some days where it's like, I'm so consumed about what I'm being viewed like, or, and my own selfish desires and things like that, or what I'm working through, that I kind of forget sometimes of the experience in front of me and what it means and how grateful I ought to be, right? So there's this desire to return to the simplicity of childhood, but there's also something to be taken that can be attained. And I think that's what I'm looking for here is, how can we return to that, and what does that look like, and how have we lost that, specifically in the 20th century and beyond?
How have we lost reverence?
Yeah, do you feel like there has been a loss of reverence, or
where we're not like appreciative of things, or what?
Yeah, I mean, I
don't know.
I don't know. What I love about wonder and awe and imagination and the books that we've been talking about reading is it draws you out of yourself. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, I think it draws us up. Right, I've talked about this. We spend so much time looking down, consumed with kind of these worldly things and desires and pleasures, and it takes us away from what ultimately is the drawing of the heart and the soul up towards God, right? Mm-hmm. Or to outwards towards beauty, which ultimately lends us and leads us upwards. Alice von Hildebrand talks about the curse of modern man is the loss of sense of wonder and gratitude. She says that boredom is the punishment of the irreverent, right? We have all this technology and the ability to dominate nature, to dominate our and control every aspect of our lives, that we take things for granted, and with blind stupidity, we assume that there is nothing we cannot know or master. She says that being blasé or bored and unhappy is the sickness of the 20th century, right? We hear about, we see this in my students, we see this in ourselves, and how often we find ourselves, I don't know, unfairly, we'll say, I'm bored, or we're looking for some other cheap entertainment, because we're, again, unaware and perhaps not open to the reality that is before us. Mm-hmm. Like we're not open to receive. We're not aware of the amazing beauty that exists even in something so simple as just like a walk through down the street. Mm-hmm. And the beauty of the trees and the park and the
So many factors. Like part of it is that, just like I was saying, like how many times are people willing to like push past and like, let's go for that walk. Like I think there's a hindrance that like some kids just like aren't taking on walks. Like I think we're just not doing that as a culture anymore, like those types of things as much. Like part of it's not their fault, but also like we're over entertained. Like you said, there's a boredom because these kids have access to so much at such a young age and like recognize and are entertained, like over entertained. Mm-hmm. But like you said, like we in creation, we recognize the creator, like we appreciate creation and that leads us to the creator. But how many of these kids are being entertained and not like thinking of where that even comes from? Like we're being entertained from other sources. Like I appreciate my phone, but I don't appreciate Apple, the creator of it. Like, mm-hmm. I think we're losing that search of like, where is this coming from? Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's their fault. I think it's what our culture is giving them. And I think as parents, we have to not only, like you said, present them the opportunities. Let's go for that walk. Let's take them to a beautiful building. Like, let's take them to this experience. Let's take them out in nature, whatever. Mm-hmm. But also we just have to like, we have to teach them more than ever skills that people knew throughout time.
Yeah.
And it's because our culture has lost it. Mm-hmm. Because we're suffering from this boredom and we don't know how to get out of it.
Yeah. I think there's a genuinely good desire from parents, particularly in previous generations that didn't have the wealth and the comfort that we have now, to want to provide that for the children. And I think it probably shifted in a way that people were unaware of it before the damage had been partly done. It's like, I want to give my children all that I did not have, which is good. It's very good. Like I was provided a very comfortable living, right?
Yeah.
Loving parents, right? And those are good things, right? But I think what can be lost in that, if you don't have people who have the means or the ability to provide these experiences or to remind their children to go outside, or if it wasn't something that was taught to them,
Not that we want to sound like the old guy, like, right, get outside.
Right.
put your computers away and go outside. Right,
exactly. But I think what I'm advocating for is fostering those opportunities. It doesn't need to be every second of every day. It's not that my kids don't watch TV.
Yeah.
It's not that they don't have these comforts, right, that we've provided them. But also at the same time, it's been on my heart recently to want to provide more and more of these opportunities, yeah, to take them. Like, Mary does a great job of every year knowing when the bluebells come out to these parks in the spring so that we can take our kids to go and to observe and to just to see this beauty and to be a part of it and amidst it. Goethe says that modern man assumes that he has the key to the universe and is the master and should only marvel at himself, right? That's a, I don't know.
That's such a good line, yeah.
It's a bit harsh, but it's the reality true. Is that, like, Alice von Hildebrand did a great job talking about, like, that's the phone, right? The phone believes that they have unlocked the key of the universe and everything that they could ever need could be found here, and that they themselves are the ones that they're a master of that technology. When we've talked about how actually we're kind of mastered by that technology, but that's a conversation for another time. There's a reverence, which is like this healthy awe and wonder of the world, and understanding that we ought to be grateful for the creation, and more importantly, the creator. But this reverence is ever renewed, right, in these grateful discoveries of the mysteries of being, right? A joy in how marvelous it is to be, right? To exist, to have what we are, right? And so, and this is, I think people get to that point. This is a topic I want to, and I'm sorry if you can hear my dog grunting in the background because he's not getting petted enough. Is that the proper words? We see this, and this is what I want to talk about. There's a tension that exists where it's kind of leading to this existential crisis, if you want, or this boredom and lack of purpose and like being unfulfilled in what we have in front of us, that we see in the suicide rates with teenagers and the rates of depression and mental health concerns.
Because mass violence.
Jeez. And mass violence and these different things that, right, we recognize that what we are and what is the temporal, we have a finite reality. Like you and I are finite, right? There is an end to us, and what we have before us will not always be, right? And it's not enough. It's not enough. But we have a desire for more. We have a desire for the infinite. There's a mystery to that, but it frustrates us because we can't attain it. We can't figure it out. We can't dominate it, right? It's not something that you can study or measure in the same way. It's a desire that God has placed upon our hearts, right? My hearts are restless until I rest in you, right? Augustine, yeah. There's a desire there, but when we have this unhealthy view and a lack of reverence or this irreverence, it only hinders us because it's not drawing us out of ourselves. It's we're constantly turning inwards and we're just unsatisfied and we'll forever be unsatisfied unless we foster this openness and this desire to learn and to be open to what is being offered to us.
Yeah, we have a
view
of the world. But I think so much of that, like, it has to be, I don't know, it has to be taught now. It has to be modeled, absolutely. Like, we have to live it out ourselves. Like, our kids need to see that gratitude in ourselves, the humility in us. They want to be loved. Mm-hmm. They want to love something, and we need to inspire that in them. But I was just thinking, like, that's been a big reflection this past year, probably as a teacher. It's just like, I feel like the stuff I've been doing isn't working anymore, or like the stuff that everyone's been doing isn't working. And our culture has changed, and we are not meeting their needs. Mm-hmm. We have one of the most creative generations coming up. We have one of the most curious generations coming up, and we're not fostering that creativity, that curiosity in a way that is leading them to seek anything beyond, I don't know, something finite.
Yeah,
we're not helping them break through and follow that imagination to something that will be actually good and true and beautiful. Because we're not teaching them right. I don't know, like in our schools, at our homes.
Yeah,
something that didn't have to be taught: social skills, emotional skills, spiritual skills, as much in the past. Like, our generation needs it because I think they're stunted.
because of what we're the culture that we're handing on to them.
Yeah.
And the environment that they're growing up in. If you're overstimulated, over entertained, and you're never really, I don't know, moved beyond yourself, it's hard. Yeah. I don't know if any of that made sense.
Yeah. And I think I guess where I want to wrap this up is when my daughter was Zaylee was on the boat, she was really tired one day. Her grandpa was just trying to help her, like set the hook every time. And just kept saying, I know. Mm-hmm. I know. And she was tired, and I get that. And we had a conversation afterwards. Well, actually, I had a conversation like right away afterwards. I shouldn't have. Should have waited the next day. She was exhausted. Yeah, so we had a bit of a breakdown. Yeah. Classic dad moment. But I don't know. In reflecting on that, it's like we had a great conversation about this idea. Like, he's just trying to help. He's offering you something. Like, yeah. And you need to take it. And maybe, yes, you think you're doing it, but maybe there's a better way that you can do it. Thinking to myself and my own pride and how often that I've dismissed things or people or
I got this
or like I'll figure it out or whatever. And you talk about fostering this generation and ourselves as well. That's what this awe and wonder is this openness to receive. Mm-hmm. This openness to receive ultimately the truth, right? The answer to our aching hearts and what we see far too often, people groping for things, but they're groping for the finite, mm-hmm. and it's not satisfying their need and desire for the infinite and the mystery that cannot be to be held in their hands. And I think that reverence is a means to help, yeah. to at least to kind of to open up and to properly order how we receive the experiences around us. And I think if we can help that, and I hope that I can help foster that more in my students and my children.
That's the process that a lot of our generation is going through as they get older and they finally appreciate what their parents did for them.
Yeah.
You know, it's that reverence of like, wow, like there was something greater at force there during mm-hmm. my life. And I think those are those breakthrough moments when you recognize something bigger and you're able to kind of step back and mature. Like that's such an in our, like the route to spiritual maturity and evangelization nowadays is get them to recognize that there is something more. Because there's so much that's being put out and offered to them that isn't going to offer what they need.
Yeah.
Stranger Things drops, you know, they're like, ah. Like, yes, there's a lot of great things, but I don't know, a lack of appreciation for the greatness that's in front of them.
Well, I hope my ramblings made sense.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of easy ways to do that. And I think we've talked about some of those, fostering the imagination, spending time out in nature, and just kind of like, yeah.
I think just using a vocabulary, like, I don't know, with our students, with our kids, like articulating things to them, they need to hear that.
Yeah.
I've been going through a lot because I'm just, I want to be a good parent. I want to set my kids up. And like a lot of the podcasts I've been listening to is like, you need to just, there's so many things we need to articulate to them and model to them at the same time. And it's a true for a 6-year-old and a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
I think that's why the conversation you had with her after that is so important. And we need to just keep like having those conversations, whether it's a friend, a family member, a kid, somebody you work with, a student, like those conversations matter and they're important.
Yeah.
And to do it not in a condescending way, but like in a way of just genuine love and like, let's help each other out. Let's use this language that is showing like the appreciation, the forgiveness, the mercy, the humility, the love. You know what I mean? Like those are all important, and how important it is for our kids. We're just overwhelmed with so many things to have that slow moment of like hearing from us, like, this is a beautiful truth that like, I want you to know that I've experienced that is so important for your life and will just help your entire worldview.
Yeah.
Like, we are helping form those worldviews and how important that is.
Unfortunately, I think I do far better sometimes as a teacher than I do as a father, because in those moments, I don't take the time, and I'm not, whether it's my pride gets in the way or my lack of patience with them. So, I don't want anyone to think that I have this figured out or we have this figured out, right? It's something that we're all striving to kind of help articulate.
Well, not to
friends and
not to extend this anymore, but that was like a huge reflection on Father's Day. It was just when I was like,
oh yeah,
losing my cool with my kid. Like afterwards, I left for a trip and I was just sitting there thinking about that for a few days. And it's just like, what we say matters so much. Like the language we use and the way that we present ourselves. Like,
yeah, I think that's what I want to get into next time, is why that battle is in and of itself worth the effort. And when we, right, there's a temptation to want to think that we've achieved it, and that, or we need to have achieved it, but mm-hmm. the battle itself is worthy of the pursuit. Shout outs?
Just for all the people that have put up with me my life.
Amen, brother.
And just like all the people in my life that helped me appreciate things. Especially my parents, like mentors, teachers, people that have been there for me and have had that conversation with me. Yeah. Or just that relationship with me that has helped me realize the bigger things.
Yep.
And to understand reverence and just like modeled it. Especially like explicit reverence at church. Like the people that have just lived such a reverent life in the way that they worship and the way that maybe they served mass, or the priests that have said mass. Like yeah. just that reverence and that awe that have inspired me to like take that seriously and just, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I call that 100%.
Cool.
For the kingdom.
For the kingdom.